Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Omar Khan? Omar? Can you hear me, Ron?
I hear you just fine. Of course, I'm sitting in the same room.
Both of us have our mics off for some reason. All right, now we're good to go. So Omar is introduced here today as the GM, and we've been playing some of these clips. Going to go to the line in a minute to get people's gut reaction to this here at the top of the Steelers food chain. What's happening? Ron, do you like this hire?
I'm more interested to see how it turns out with Andy Weidel. I guess he wasn't there today. I thought maybe they'll introduce him next week, or I thought it could have introduced them both today. I'm more interested in how it goes with him. I know Omar. I don't think his role is going to change dramatically. I'm okay with him as the capologist and that guy. So, yeah, I'm okay with it.
Why is he the GM then? I mean, are you okay? Are
you
okay with Omar being the? I'm not interested in Andy Weidel.
I don't know why that title.
Do you approve the title is
GM?
What?
I don't understand why the title is the way it is. I'm with you.
Do you like that the Steelers hired or promoted Omar Khan to the very top of their organization below Art Rooney?
Yes, I'm okay with it.
Why?
Because I don't think his role is going to change much. And I think he's very good at what he did. And now, you know, again, maybe like you said, mediate disputes, working with people. I'm okay with it. I'm not as enamored with the title as you are. I know what
I'm
you're saying.
I'm not enamored with it. I'm simply pointing out he's the general manager of the organization.
I get it, but I'm not putting as much stock into that as you are.
How can I not put stock into the guy, into the general manager?
The way the jobs may be designed, I don't think Omar's going to be the biggest guy on personnel.
Then why is he the GM?
I don't.
Why is he the GM?
Why is he the GM? I don't know. I don't know
why.
Why
do you like the hire?
Maybe they shouldn't name him a co-GM with the other guy. Maybe that's what they should have.
It doesn't make sense to me. I'm sorry. It just doesn't.
I'm not saying the title of it does to me, but I don't think just because he has the title of GM means he's going to automatically fail. I don't believe that. I think he's good at what he does, and if the football guy comes in here and as strong as Tom Donahoe says he is and as Kevin Colbert says he is, I think it'll be just fine. Maybe it'll be better. Hopefully it'll be better because, as you point out, in the last 5 years, it hasn't been good enough.
Or 11, really.
Okay, then 11 years. But I keep thinking—
Don't you point
you
that
stop
out?
Just
don't
short.
You point that out.
You stop just short of saying Tomlin should be fired.
No, I don't think he should be fired. I don't think he should be all-powerful.
But he's the main guy.
Right.
And these last 5 and 11 years haven't been good enough.
Right.
So get rid of him as the main guy.
No, don't get rid of him as the main guy.
It seems contradictory to me.
What does?
That you knocked their 11 years and with a lot
of... Do you?
Of, and a
Do
lot,
you knock their 11
did
years?
Did you let me finish?
Do you?
Did you...
Right. When I'm knocking their 11 years, I'm knocking them. I'm knocking them compared to what they say they are,
right.
What they claim to
right.
be. But of then, course, it's not good enough.
Okay, then get rid of the man who's the most
because
responsible
Because something's
for
not
it.
Good enough, you wind up firing people?
In most cases, yeah.
Okay, then would you fire him? You've said it's not good
enough.
No, because
I'm not as down on the organization as you are.
You point out a lot of times they haven't won in 5 years, a playoff game.
It hasn't been necessarily good enough, but I'm not. I've no. Also, no.
There's a wide difference.
Has done a lot of great things in coaching, and I think he's a really good coach. I would take him over maybe all but 4 or 5 coaches in the league.
Okay,
but if you're going to knock their 11 years and admit that he has had too much power. Then you got to get rid of him.
Do you think he's had too much power? Well, why not just reduce his power?
How are you going to do that? How are you going to put that?
Bring in a GM who's an actual GM would be a start from the outside.
I guess that's one way of doing it.
And I wouldn't have given him his extension number two. He's done enough good to where he deserves to stay. That doesn't. There's a wide gap between getting fired.
See, it seems to me like you all but say he should be fired.
Maybe he should be eventually.
The grades you gave him.
Maybe he should be eventually.
Bad. C, B, C.
You gave him a B on coaching staff without backing it up with a single fact. This guy has mangled his coaching staff of late.
Mangled it. He has not done good with it. No.
So should he be fired?
No.
You seem to think because I don't think he's done good on everything, he should be fired.
Your view of the organization is a little bit less than mine is.
What's yours?
I think it's a pretty solid organization. I wish they'd win a few more playoff games. I do. But I'm not quite as down on it as you are. And every time you have a chance to knock Tomlin, you do. But yet you just want to keep him, but in a lesser role.
Well, yes,
I don't
in
know
a lesser
that
role.
Could if the Patriots start losing, are they going to take power away from Bill Belichick? Or are they going to fire him? Or
Belichick has
him?
A little bit more.
I understand.
A little bit more clout earned.
I understand
than
that.
Tomlin does.
I understand. How about John Harbaugh? How about Pete Carroll?
John Harbaugh has 7 playoff wins in the last 11 years. Tomlin has 3.
He's got one in the last five compared to none.
They've
each had one Super Bowl, and Tomlin has been to 2. But I understand that's ancient history. I do.
Yeah, it is. It's ancient history. So I wouldn't have given him his extension.
Okay.
He'd be going into the final year of his deal.
Okay.
I can tell you that.
That's fine. I certainly can understand that. And all I'm going to tell you is if he gets to the final year of his deal and he plays it out, he'll be gone somewhere next year.
Then somebody else can win 3 playoff games in the next 11 years.
See, again,
right?
3 playoff games, then fire him. Bring in somebody else and give them a chance.
I'm still willing to give him more of a chance, but I'm getting close. You think Art Rooney's getting close.
I didn't say that. I didn't say he's getting close. I just don't think Tomlin has a lifetime job. You do.
Well, we're getting pretty close with 15 years.
Again,
when we get to 20, that's pretty much lifetime.
Let's see how this year goes. I mean, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I pick them to go 8-9, and it depends on how it goes. You know, then maybe next year Tomlin's under a little bit of heat. Maybe. Depending on how it goes.
Should he be?
Depending on how it goes. I can't answer that until I see how it goes.
So you're open to the idea.
Are the quarterbacks going to be good? I mean, are they going to lose because of injuries? I don't know. And again, I pick them to go 8-9. So if they go 10-7, should I think that he had a pretty good year? Because on paper, I don't think they're very good. So do I
How
give
much
him
responsibility does he have for that on paper?
For them being good?
For them being not good on paper.
Well, he certainly has been involved in the personnel decision.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
So
I'm talking about more of a reduction of power than I am getting rid of him as a coach, although I wouldn't have given him an extension and was clear on that.
I get that. And I can't.
So you said he should be under some heat depending on how this year goes. So you're 1 year away from saying he should be
I'm not 1 year away from anything.
You said you're one year away from him being under a scenario where he's under heat.
What if he goes 4-13? What if he goes 4-13?
What about it?
Then maybe he should be under a little bit of heat.
Okay.
Maybe. I'm not saying even then if he goes 4-13. I can't answer that question until I see how the year plays out.
I guess
out.
They could just go on forever then.
No.
Not winning
playoff games. That's
not exactly
what I'm saying either.
What are you saying?
That I still think he's a really good coach, and I'm not interested in replacing him yet at this point. But again, depending on how things go, maybe I'll change my mind.
Okay. I think his power should be reduced, and I think he shouldn't have gotten an extension.
Okay.
And there are still some things I like about him. As a head coach, I think I gave him above average grade, didn't I?
I think you gave him a C.
Average grade.
Yeah. Average grade. Well,
that's
as you
pretty
point
generous.
Out, when you've had 5 bad years, average may not be good enough.
I would even say they've had 5 bad years. They've had 5 years without a playoff win.
Right, non-playoff winning year, winning games.
Yeah. It's been about average, you know? And part of it would be who you could get to replace him. You know?
Well, I've never been a big believer that if you think you should make a change, you can't be afraid of making it because you're afraid of who you might hire. I don't believe that. There's good coaches out there. If I think it's time to replace them, I'm going to replace them and take my chances with
I do agree with that.
I think some people, you can't get rid of them. What are you going to get? Maybe it'll be worse. Well, maybe it'll be better.
I just think it was time for big change, not almost no change at the top of the organization.
So what is big change? Bringing in
an outside
Weidel to make him general manager and give him total power in the organization? No, I just throw his name
bringing
out because they brought
in somebody
him in.
Somebody from the outside sits in this chair, right?
On Wednesday. Bring him in and give him total
power. Doug
Whaley
is deeply entrenched in the Steeler way. That would have been a continuation.
Andy Weidel
he might
worked
be too.
Here too. Yeah.
But that was in a very minor role
a long time
ago.
And he's been around two other organizations since.
Yeah. Give somebody more power
Whaley's
over personnel.
Not have Tomlin
be the defensive coordinator.
And other people.
Right? As you've written and said.
I have said that. I believe
that's
that.
A major
and
reduction
maybe,
in
maybe
power.
Maybe that will happen with Brian Flores there.
Yes, it
although
could.
Although he doesn't have the title of defensive coordinator, does he? So does that mean he has no say in the defense?
I don't know.
You're hung up on the titles. He's not the defensive coordinator. Terrell Austin is.
What do you mean I'm hung up on the titles?
Because the general manager versus assistant, in this case, I don't think it's a big deal. You do. And I get it. That's fine. But I'm asking you, Brian Flores is a linebacker's coach, special assistant to the head coach. Does that mean he doesn't have as much say as the defensive coordinator? Terrell Austin? I think he might.
In a normally functioning organization, yes.
I think he might.
The assistant
having,
has less.
I think he might.
Now,
have,
he's an extremely unusual case.
Right.
Because they brought in basically a head coach and gave him, I'm not sure
and
what
you,
his overall
and you,
role is.
You talk about the status quo. That is a big jump from the status quo.
That's a hire that I love.
That's a big jump
Brian Flores.
From the status quo. And maybe that'll take some of the defensive stuff away from Tom.
And that's what I'm talking about with Tomlin. That I think we're both talking about is, come on, this guy's the defensive coordinator. He's your head personnel guy. How about be the coach?
See, I don't think it's any different in Seattle with Pete Carroll. I don't know that it's any difference in Baltimore. I know they have, what's his name?
Well, Seattle, right? You have an actual GM. They just brought in a cap guy to be their GM.
Does he have final say over Pete Carroll? I don't believe that. Does the guy in Baltimore have final say over John Harbaugh? I don't believe that. I don't. Does the guy in Kansas City have final say over Andy Reid?
So what does Dulac mean?
Now, Andy Reid,
what does Dulac mean, and what do we mean when we say Tomlin's powers are only increased with Omar Khan as the GM? What do we mean by that? Do you think his powers are increased?
Probably are.
In what respect?
In terms of personnel. Can't increase in coaching.
No.
It is what it is, and I don't think. Omar's going to wade into those waters, but maybe it will have a little more say in the personnel side, although I don't know how much he had with Colbert. I think he had a lot, just as I think all these other coaches do too. Now, you can tell me Andy Reid's track record recently is a lot better. It's a hell of a lot better, but I think he has the final say in Kansas City. I'm an outsider looking in. That's my guess.
I'm not quibbling about final say on a draft pick for the head coach. I'm quibbling about him becoming more and more powerful on the personnel side, whatever that might mean. In this case, it probably means that there's not a lot of pushback from the GM.
Probably.
So, yeah, we're saying that there's not a one-to-one comparison as to what Kevin Colbert's role was and the influence he had and what Andy Weidel's influence is going
to
be.
See, I don't know about Andy Weidel. I keep hearing great things about him. Very strong opinions.
You know,
a very good talent evaluator. Maybe he will have as much say as Kevin Colbert did, even though he doesn't have the title.
Well, if that's the case, then if he does have the same amount of power and influence, then maybe Mike Tomlin's role isn't. He doesn't have as much power or isn't gaining power through
all
this.
I don't know, Matt. I want to see how it plays out.
We'll never know, really, how it plays out.
Probably we'll never know.
412-928-9370. Your thoughts on Omar Khan as the GM, on the power structure of the Steelers, on Mike Tomlin. Ron, there's a fine line between criticism, heavy criticism, and he should be fired. That's where I stand on it.
Okay. That's fair.
You're
between the heavy criticism and he should be fired. Or you're just at the heavy criticism.
I'm to the point where now that they've doubled down on Tomlin, I'm really, first of all, not expecting anything to happen. And secondly, want to see what he does with a new quarterback for a year or
me
two.
Me too.
You know, I mean.
Me too. And again, you know, what may be, Matt Canada may be his undoing.
Well, that's the other thing.
I'm not sure about that. Maybe Matt Canada will be a genius. Maybe now that he doesn't have Ben, maybe he'll be a genius. I'm not betting on that. And maybe he'll end up being, Tomlin's doubled down on him. Maybe that'll end up being his undoing.
It could be. Although, as I've said, I don't think anything will be his undoing. That's the thing. I just don't. And pretty soon we're heading to, what is it? Is this year 16 for him?
07 was his first year.
I'm not happy with the job that Tomlin's done for a while now.
Okay. But not
Are you?
Stopping short
Are you?
Of firing him.
Do you think he's done a good job?
No, I'm not. But I'm not quite as down on it as you are. That's all. But I mean, you're not to the point of where he should be replaced.
Nope.
Okay.
I think there are steps you go through. One is not extending him. That would be a big one.
Well, that's already been done.
That I wouldn't have done. I think that he operates without any thought that he could ever be replaced.
I don't know that. I mean, I've talked to him about that. I've asked him point blank that. I don't take anything for granted, but what's he going to say? What's he going to say? Hey, you're absolutely right. I know it doesn't matter what I do. I'm here forever. He's not going to say. I asked him that question point blank. I said, you work for an organization that believes in stability. You know, like, you're going to be hard to replace. He goes, I don't take anything for granted. But what's he going to say?
All right, let's go to the phone lines here as we talk about Mike Tomlin and his future here, the amount of power he has here, and Omar Khan being named GM, Andy Weidel, assistant GM. Let's go to Paul. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Hey, first off, I want to say I like the Omar, basically, promotion, if you want to call it, inside of the organization. He's been with us for quite some time. I think he's going to do great things for the organization and moving forward. On the Mike Tomlin issue, I think...
Let me jump in on that one. When you say, I think he'll do great things, what do you mean and what leads you to believe that?
How?
Well, he's been with the organization and been under Kevin Colbert for quite some time. He knows what we need to do to get back to getting more than just one playoff win every 4 or 5 years. I think the man can take over in that position and put Tomlin in the right spot, I believe.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That if Tomlin does not do what we are capable of doing, I think that he might be in a hot seat like you guys are talking about.
I think the only guy, Ron, who's going to eventually make that call is going to be Art Rooney,
no,
if that
no
call
doubt.
Is ever to be made. We just heard a GM who spoke of Tomlin in reverential terms, said he has dreamed of working with Tomlin. I don't think that's going to be the guy
to
make
a
move.
Art would be the only one. Go ahead, caller.
Thank you, Paul.
I'm still here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that you guys are right. I think that, you know, Mr. Rooney has that call, but with Mr. Omar being around as long as he has and knowing what we need to do to get back to what we used to be doing is going to put a lot of pressure on not just each other, but they're going to put a pressure on the organization. And with them getting and drafting Kenny Pickett and competing for the quarterback position this year, it's going to be very interesting to see what personnel Omar is going to do, not just for this year, but for future for the organization.
Thank you, Paul. Ron, I have to acknowledge this. It's a really difficult situation to judge, because I think if you were a lawyer, and Art is a lawyer, you could make a case for, boy, this organization, no matter what happens, Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph, they're always in it. They never have a losing season. And then you could make a case the other way. And I think that Art is of the opinion that everything's been, he's pretty pleased with the direction of the franchise. First thing he said to us, the year they got blown out by Jacksonville in the playoff game, he shot right back with, We were 13 and 3. So what holds more weight, like the school year or the final exam, you know? I think my opinion is that he's pretty good with the direction of the organization, I think, for better or worse.
I don't know that the expectation last year that they were going to make the playoffs, especially, you know, after Allo went out. You know, Ben at that stage of his career, and then all of a sudden they get into the playoffs. I mean, he needed help at the end from Jacksonville winning a game. I think he was pleased that they did make the playoffs, you know, and not as much unhappy about getting blown out by Kansas City. I think he absolutely was happy that he made the playoffs. Now, that's last year. I think each year is different.
But then
13-3 was a hell of a year.
Yeah.
But that was one of the worst playoff losses in franchise history. At home to Jacksonville.
So again, it becomes like a Rubik's Cube to look at. Could you ever solve a Rubik's Cube, Ron, back in high school?
You know who's good at that? I think Zeiss is really.
Is he?
I think Zeiss can do it like instantly, right?
Yeah, Matt? He is.
I mean, he can do it instantly.
I spent my entire 11th grade year trying to do it once failed.
I don't think I could ever even come close
Me
to it.
Me either.
But
I
think another thing about this is the perception of Tomlin nationally versus locally.
Yeah.
Not even like you're talking about the same guy.
Yeah.
Around the league, Peter King, guys like that, they think he's a hell of a coach. Around here, I'll bet a lot of the calls we're going to get are probably going to say fire him.
Right.
It's just amazing the perception where you are.
But a lot of the same people who would criticize the local people for having that opinion and laud the national opinion are the same people who every time a national story breaks about the Steelers will tell you the national people have no feel on this team.
Right.
They don't know what the hell's going on.
I'm not lauding them for saying that.
Not you.
I'm not lauding them. But do you agree that there's absolute?
Yes.
He's much better regarded nationally than he is in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
Right or wrong.
But let's get back to this past season. My question would be, you said the expectations were low going in.
I picked them 8-9 last year.
So that would then, why are the expectations, why were they so low? Because the roster wasn't good? Why wasn't the roster good enough? You know what I mean?
Well,
so they exceeded expectations, maybe. But why were the expectations so low in the first place? And they are again now.
That's a good point.
They're expected to finish last. How good can things possibly be going? But I see the other side, too. Now they're in a transition without Ben, which I think all opinions on Tomlin aside, absolutely buys him time. Even if he has to fire Canada after a year, no matter what, he's the guy that Art wanted in charge of this huge sort of sea change that's happening with the GM change, the quarterback change. Tomlin is the face and center of the organization, and that's what leads me to believe he's bought at least two or three more years as they transition, hopefully for them, into Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
Almost no matter what happens.
I'm not going to quite go that far, but I would tend to agree with you.
George, go ahead.
Hey, man, the last time I called this show, I was trying to be Deontay Johnson's agent. And this time, even though I had some other stuff to talk about, I'm going to mediate this conversation you're having with Ron. Ron was totally right when he came to you yesterday and said, well, just fire him. Because the thing you're doing, Joe, is you're hanging everything on three playoff wins as if going 5-11 and picking the top five in the draft every year, like maybe a Houston does, and somehow winning two or three playoff games is somehow equal to what the Steelers did the last decade. I mean, it's not all or one. You know, you have to enjoy every game, enjoy every ride. You know what I'm saying? We went 8-8. We've never been a game more than a game outside of a playoff berth. So you have to add some value to that, even though we haven't won as much as we want to. You can't compare it to Houston. And for you to give a man a C, and I'll transition.
Actually, it would be an insult to Houston to compare it to Houston. They have more playoff wins than the Steelers in the last 11 years.
You're right. It would be an insult to Houston.
More than that.
But it's an insult to Houston would love to not be picking the top five every year and have
maybe the Steelers would love to pick in the top five once, because that's how they won all their Super Bowls, by being bad and getting Bradshaw, by being bad and getting Ben. They've never won a Super Bowl that wasn't born of being a horrible team for at least 1 year.
Okay, well then that's 1 year. They were a horrible team for six of the last 10. So you want to pick in the top five 6 years out of 10?
Okay, wouldn't so mind. I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind at all.
So you want to go 5-11 for a decade?
Well, they had Deshaun Watson, and they actually won a playoff game. Obviously, circumstances changed in Houston when they lost their superstar quarterback, right?
No. They haven't been good. But I'm saying your case is you would rather be the Giants or some team like this because they pick in the top five, but you're not considering every year that the Steelers are competitive.
No. That's not my case at all. Of course, I wouldn't rather be the Giants, right?
We're only talking about playoff wins. That's not the whole season. Playoff wins. You have to dissect it and realize part of the reason we're losing games is the talent, and part of the talent we have is Tomlin and coaching and Colbert. The part of it is this Steeler way, which I want to get to now. That's why I'm not in love with this hiring. Because this Steeler way has got us caught in this trap for the last decade. We're thinking we can't really trade draft picks. We can't really move up and get better players because that's not how we've always done it. Like I said before, we're stuck in the time before there was free agency.
Well, wait a second. They've moved up many times to get players.
Take care of that pooch, will you?
Are you being attacked there?
No.
They've moved up many times. They moved up to get Santonio Holmes.
They've moved up a couple of times, I mean, there's many.
They moved up to get Santonio Holmes. They moved up to get Troy Polamalu. They moved up to get Devin Bush. They traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick. They even moved up to get Mason Rudolph, for God's sakes. That's five examples.
I'm glad you brought Mason Rudolph. I'll transition there. You're faulting Tomlin and Colbert for that draft, but really in 2017, when Ben wouldn't commit to coming back, he kept hinting about retiring. So they almost forced.
They knew he wasn't retiring. Please, he wanted to get Todd Haley out of here.
I know that. We know that. But that.
So did they.
And going ahead and drafting somebody.
They knew it too. They didn't draft Mason Rudolph because they were taking Ben's retirement threats seriously. Do you think they did, Ron?
No.
We both have an opinion. Ed Bouchette reported, and I read the article that said that Ben wouldn't commit to coming back for playing past the 2017 year. He's talking about CTE and all his other stuff.
Okay, then it was still a terrible pick. Even if that, I don't think that was the reason, but if it were, then Mason Rudolph was still a terrible pick.
I agree. I would agree with that, but when Ben comes on the show complaining about the pick, he shouldn't be complaining. He should be committed to playing for the team because, as opposed to talking about retirement. And then they wouldn't have taken a quarterback two straight years. But that's beside the point. The top of the show, we're talking about the con hire. I don't dislike the hire because we really have no idea what the guy's going to do. I dislike the method of the hire, the process of,
always bringing in somebody with some Steeler ties. Like you in this case, Joe, I wouldn't mind bringing in some new blood that says we're going to do some things differently. We're going to be willing to trade more than we have in the last few years. We're not going to be in love with draft picks because our draft picks sometimes have turned to Artie Burns as frequently as they turn to T.J. Watt. So there's no, we're not going to overvalue draft picks. So I'm not in love with him. And I do think, like Ron, I'm not sure if Ron thinks this way, I think that Con can have the personnel side as well as the business side. It's just a matter of, over time, him having more and more of the personnel side. I don't think they would have brought him up just to be the business side and then give this new guy from Philly the decision-making power, because that would be crazy. And then that'd be, I'm more down on the Steelers trying to do stuff Steeler way side, which really just pisses me off overall in the drafting, in the trading, in the selection of coaches, yeah, and everything. And back to this, the last thing I said, I appreciate your time. When we evaluate Tomlin's coaching staff, once again, it's Steeler way. As far as I'm concerned, Rooney has instilled this Steeler way in everyone in the organization. You heard Con's press conference, and that's part of the reason I believe that Tomlin's coaches all come from the staff. You fault him for these coaches, but they're all internal hires or related to Pittsburgh. Maybe he had the latitude to go out and get coaches, like he happened to get the one for this year. Then maybe we have a better coaching record. But I don't think he had that latitude. I think if your boss says, look, this is how we do things here, and they've given you a great opportunity in Pittsburgh, then you kind of follow that pattern. And everyone follows that pattern, and that's part of the reason we're going
to... Well, Ron, there's no doubt about this, George.
George,
there's no doubt about this. We appreciate all your
thoughts.
George,
thank you for your call. Very enlightening.
There's no doubt that Omar Khan is a guy heavily indoctrinated, for better or worse, in the Steeler way.
No doubt. He's been here 21 years.
There's been few who have been more indoctrinated in the Steeler way than him, for better or worse.
Now that I think of it, is Colbert gone? He's got to be like the senior and longevity guy, maybe some secretaries or something like that, maybe the training staff, something like that. I don't think anybody's been around longer than he has.
Yeah, maybe the training staff is the only thing I can think of. All right, let's take one more here, Ron. That was good stuff there by George.
George is very passionate.
George had
many
things on his mind.
I like George's passion.
We've had Paul and George.
Should How we about have, Ringo, now, and,
Ringo
and John?
Yeah, Bert is next.
Bert doesn't fit.
What's up?
Hi, guys. Thanks. I'm not Ringo or John. My dad was good at the Rubik's Cube, though. He was in, like I guess Paul's ISIS. Anyway, I like the fact that I think they did bring in some fresh thinking, even though Whitehall has a link with the Steelers. I think he's a very vital guy. They need work on the offensive and defensive lines. He helped build real good offensive and defensive lines in Philadelphia. Those lines on offense worked with three different quarterbacks, which they might run into in this situation. You know, a lot depends on how the draft works out. I don't really like the draft that well, but it could be, you know, it could be a great draft. The thing is, you know, hopefully the offensive coordinator won't be a problem. This isn't the NBA. I don't like him isolating Najee out there one-on-one. You know, he needs some blocking in front of him. Hopefully Wider will bring in some good blockers, and they'll turn into the type of offense that they used to have with the bus and with Franco and with that type of thing, and a quarterback and a creative offense and a great defense. You know, maybe they can go places.
Well, you got to wish this there, Bert. Maybe they'll do this. Maybe they'll do that. Maybe they'll do this. Maybe they'll do that. They got a lot of work to do.
That's the kind of situation it seems to be. You know, hopefully they'll defer to these guys that they brought in, and not just it won't be just a cosmetic type of situation.
Thank you, Bert.
Thank you, Bert. Ron, what if this continues? This is why I say it's very difficult for me to judge. What if they continue to have non-losing seasons, 9-8 here, 10-7 there, 9-8 here? Maybe they win a playoff game. What if it just keeps going like this, you know, in...
Perpetuity.
Perpetuity is a very
like
good
word.
Then what? Then how do we judge Tomlin? You know what I mean?
Again,
it's just, it's very difficult for me to put a final judgment on that.
To me, it depends on how each of these seasons go. The Duck year, I thought maybe he did some of his best work. Other years, that they collapsed at the end of the year, not so much. I think it depends on how it goes and how these quarterbacks develop. You know, maybe he ends up going to Kenny Pickett at some point this year, and maybe he takes his lumps, and maybe they only win 5 or 6 games, but that you'll see Pickett grow the way he did at Pitt next year and the year after. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Depends on how it goes.
It always makes it difficult to say the coach should be fired if you have a winning season and get to the playoffs. That makes it difficult to say that guy should be fired.
It's hard to win games in the league, and it's hard to make the playoffs.
But some guys have been.
Even now, there's an extra playoff spot.
Some teams have moved on, or the coach has moved on. Let's be honest here. Now, Tomlin suddenly has one of the longest tenures in the history of the league.
It's pretty long.
It's food for thought. It really is. And that was one of the main reasons why I didn't feel like he should be extended. Because this isn't a one-time thing, this collapsing at the time. His teams are collapsing every year, late in the year. I just thought it was time for a reset. Last year they didn't.
They didn't. They won that game against Cleveland and Baltimore at the end.
Yes, they did.
And then got blown out in the playoffs.
You could argue they backed into the playoffs and needed help and needed luck to get in, but they did get in. But I'm talking about when it was time to extend him. My reasoning for not doing that high on the list would have been, this is a team that's collapsing every single year and is actually not playing for the most part to its talent level, is underachieving. But those games against Baltimore and Cleveland, they did win. The Lamar Jackson-less Baltimore.
They beat somebody else down the stretch last
Tennessee.
Year. Yeah, that was a big win. Then he lost to Kansas City, correct?
And Minnesota before that. It looked like a collapse was imminent with the Chargers and imminent, I should say, with the Chargers and Bengals. And then they snuck out the win against Baltimore. Then they get beaten in Minnesota, and then they beat Tennessee.
The biggest win of the year.
Because Cleveland was broken. There are rumors out there that Baltimore sabotaged Mayfield in that game.
It was a shell of itself.
Baltimore. And then a Lamar Jackson-less Baltimore. You better beat them. That Tennessee win was the win of the year. That was the biggest win of the year.
I would agree.
And I think they got a break there. Well, I was going to say without Derrick Henry, but the other guy ran all over him, didn't he?
Everybody ran all over him last year.
Tennessee ran for 200 yards in that game. How did they win that game? How did they win that game, Ron? I have no memory of it. They ran for 35 yards on 17 carries. The other guys ran for 200 yards.
I think they refreshed
my memory.
They had a bunch of turnovers, didn't they?
I know how they. Yes.
And I think
I know
played,
how they
ben
won that
played
game.
Pretty well in the second half.
Because Vrabel decided that even though he was running for 200 yards, it would be a good idea to keep dropping back Ryan Tannehill, and they wound up sacking him all over the place and getting a pick. That's how they won.
You're right about that.
That's how they won.
Yep. That was the biggest win.
Horse milk.
Biggest. Probably, how about Buffalo? But that was the first game.
That was big. Man, I wish we could have seen that Steeler defense for the whole year. I really do. All right, Ron. Can we move on to some other topics for a bit before we get to Ray Fittipaldi at noon?
Ray Fittipaldi at the top of the hour covered the Con press conference today. We'll get his take, but let's move on a little bit.
I have a bone to pick with something that happened in a hockey game. I've been adamant on this topic for years. Meanwhile, the Connor McDavid show continued.
It's his world. We're just living in it.
How, Ron? Have you been watching him?
We're just living in it. That's why I'm hoping against hope the Colorado can close out St. Louis just to see McDavid and the Oilers against MacKinnon and the Avalanche. It doesn't get any better than that for a hockey series.
And Kevin Allen was with us yesterday and mentioned, a very familiar name and how this might be the time for him to come back to the Penguins. We'll talk about that, all of that, next. Going to get to Paul and Jake in a moment. We'll still mix in our Steeler talk here. Ron, were you watching Calgary-Edmonton last night?
Past my bedtime. I watched a little bit of the Rangers game, and that's the home team continues to win. Carolina looks a lot better than the Rangers, but don't count out the Rangers just yet.
Man, well, I won't. I mean, I was watching that game. They have Shesterkin. That's a fact. That's like it would be like me discounting a team's quarterback and saying the rest of the team isn't good enough.
We saw the Penguins often outplay the Rangers, and somehow they survived. I'm not going to count them out again, even though I thought Carolina much the better team last night.
they doubled them in shots. I don't think the Rangers, again, I don't think the Rangers are that good, but Shesterkin's part of them. So maybe they are that good.
That's a big part.
I just don't think that they are on a level, even with the Penguins. The Penguins dominated them. But again, they have the goalie. So how can I say that? If you include the goalie, then they are on the level, Ron. Do you see the dilemma there?
Last time I checked, the goaltender was part of the team.
They're getting outplayed territorially like 2-1. And yet they win with the Penguins. Yet they win. But they didn't win last night, and now they're on the verge of elimination. But, man, goes back there for a game 7, then it's a tough bet. All right, last night, what a game. I was falling in and out of sleep. 4-4. These teams combined for 4 goals in a minute 11.
How did that happen?
Fastest in history in a playoff game. With 5:57 left in a 4-4 game, Backlund goes in on Mike Smith and takes a shot, and then Blake Coleman goes in and kicks it in. Was it a distinct kicking motion? I don't know.
That should have been a goal.
I kind of think so, too. I mean, he definitely moved his foot.
First of all, it's going in.
It moved, Jerry. It moved.
It's going.
Remember that one, Ron?
That's one of the all-time greats. It was movement. I don't think he kicked it in. I don't. And it was going in anyway. That, to me, was a goal.
Me, too. And this is a rule that I've railed against for years.
And they said it was no goal, by the way. The ruling was no goal, right?
Of course, yeah, and they probably cost Calgary a chance to keep playing. I'm not going to say Edmonton wouldn't have tied it, but with 5 minutes left or 6 in regulation, that's the biggest play of the series. Let him kick it, Ron. If you're good enough to kick a goal in, then kick it in.
Matheson kicked in 3. No, he didn't. It just went in off his
right.
skate.
If a goal can go off any part of your body, and if a guy's skilled enough to kick a puck into the net, my God, aren't they looking for scoring all the time?
His direction was taking him that way. I don't think he did try to kick it.
Well, what I'm saying is take out all interpretation and let guys kick the puck in the net. Let them kick it. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I hear you.
Why is that rule? Why does the rule exist? Why?
I don't know.
Folsy? Anyone?
I can't give you a good answer.
I've heard it said, and I've been talking about this since I was on the beat 25 years ago. Even then, when goal scoring, like the league, it was a crisis. Okay, maybe make the net bigger, but allow the puck to go in on a kick. And the reply I would get, Ron, would be that's dangerous for goalies in goal mouth scrums. You'd have people trying to kick the puck and they could, cut the goalie's hand. I don't know what they're talking about. Then don't reach for the puck.
That should have been a goal last night.
Do you agree that kicking should be allowed?
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with the rule in general. I just...
Well, if you're okay with the rule in general, then you could make an argument that he certainly kicked the puck in.
I don't think he did last night.
I know, but the problem is we can each make a good case.
His momentum was taking it in. His skate just happened to hit it in.
He definitely moved. He moved his foot. Was it a distinct kicking motion?
I don't think it was.
Okay. But he definitely didn't just skate by and have it deflect off his foot. Come on, Ron.
That one should have absolutely been a goal.
Daryl Sutter said afterward, it depends if you call it a distinct kicking motion. If somebody's on the ground and you lift your foot up, kick them in the head, that's a distinct kicking motion. If you slide your foot on the ground, so even he says he definitely moved the foot. Was it a distinct kicking motion is the question. My answer would be take that all out and let guys, if you're good enough to kick a puck in the net, let it count.
Let it count.
Can I bring you around to that side,
sure,
Ron?
Sure, why not?
Folsy, you?
That one bothered me last night, though.
I never really thought about why they even have that rule and how stupid it is.
It's stupid.
But it is stupid.
It is stupid.
It's stupid.
You can kick pass. Why can't you kick score? Some of Sid's greatest plays have been kicking the puck to himself. And then shooting or passing.
How about Jake Gensel's kicking it to himself in the air the other day?
And it's not like you are throwing it in. That's
exactly
different.
Plus, there would be some unbelievable kick goals, wouldn't there?
There would.
You'd have guys doing like the soccer thing where you flip in midair and do a back kick.
Well, that might actually get a little dangerous.
I didn't know in volleyball. A good example here is volleyball. My daughter just started playing. I had no idea that you can keep a ball alive with your foot by kicking it up. Did you know that, Folsy?
Yeah, I did.
Ron, you?
My wife played volleyball.
Neither did I. You played volleyball?
My wife did, yeah.
Hmm.
His happily married wife.
Very happily married.
We've determined that they're a happily married couple.
Blissfully.
That means children could be on the way any minute.
This is Connor McDavid's playoff.
Well, half,
so
of
far.
It, half of it.
So far.
Half of it. Vasilevsky's playoffs, too.
Don't you think McDavid has scribbled his signature on this one, though?
I do, but you could certainly make a case for Vasilevsky.
You mean for Conn Smythe?
For Conn Smythe.
Yeah, you could. No, you couldn't, Ron. This is McDavid.
This is McDavid. Well, you know what?
McDavid's
the knock
playoff.
Against him has always been, well, great player, hasn't won in the playoffs, hasn't got it done. Now he's going to the conference final.
You could make a case for Vasilevsky. But I guess my point is Vasilevsky's been here and done this before. David's out. It's really his playoff coming out party
How about he and Draisaitl and Kane?
Draisaitl has 15 assists in this series.
I know. It's amazing what they've done.
My God, McDavid doesn't even lead the league in scoring in the playoffs. Did you know that?
I did not.
Draisaitl does.
Yeah, McDavid only had the point. Now, only the point.
They're tied, actually.
The
only
goal
tied.
That won the game last night in overtime. That was his only point last night.
And then Vasilevsky, while he was brilliant in that series, he's third or fourth goals against. He's third in save percentage, although the one guy got eliminated. So, yeah, he's up there, too. Man, did they get a break with Binnington, Colorado, with him getting hurt. He was leading in everything. He was leading in everything, Ron, with a .949 save percentage.
I don't care. I want them to win. I want McDavid and MacKinnon.
That's going to be an intense battle tonight with Colorado and St. Louis in St. Louis. Great atmosphere for hockey. Kevin Allen was on with us yesterday, and I'm leery of bringing this topic up for people will just drive off the road out of rage or out of, like, Fleury fatigue, but he said of all the times that Fleury's name's been brought up, this one might make the most sense.
Yep. If he's willing to take a little less, or well, a lot less, and play 25 or 30 games, be Jari's backup, it could work.
Do you think someone will still pay him big money, though? I don't.
No, I don't. He was benched in the playoffs this year against Minnesota. Did not have a particularly good series against them, and he's no kid anymore. I could see him coming back here if the price is right.
So could I. And I don't know how old is he. He's 37. Next year is his year 38 season. So
he's not going to be the regular guy.
Yeah, for anybody, I don't think. No, I don't think anybody's going to be paying him, you know, $5 million plus or even close to that. Like, how many teams need goalies and how many teams would identify him as the guy they want to sink money into? No, I don't think so. Coming off an okay year, he played for a bad team in Chicago, and then even with Minnesota, he only had a .910 save percentage. This could be it. He could happily walk back in here at $2 million a year.
Think that'd be a nice ovation when he steps onto the ice?
Bring his family back here. You have nice insurance if you're the Penguins. I like Casey DeSmith, but have a backup who, and through no fault of his own, is not available when you need him most 2 years in a row.
Surgery, the same surgery 2 years in a row. I'm wondering about his career, let alone coming back here.
I know, and he's unrestricted, and he's 30. So I can't trust that. And I feel bad saying it because it's not his fault, but when you needed your backup, he had the same injury 2 years in a row. I think it's the perfect time for Fleury. Would you endorse this idea?
It would make sense. I've never been a going home again guy, but as long as he's willing to accept the subservient role, I'm okay with it.
I think he'd be perfect. I think there were times when it wouldn't have worked with Jari, where there would be too much inherent pressure, not the good kind, but now I think they'd each have a clear role. All right.
Ray Fittipaldo, dead ahead.
Live coverage of every Pirates game on the Fan is now available through the Odyssey app. Wherever you are in the Pittsburgh area, you can listen to every pitch of every Pirate game on Odyssey. Search 93.7 The Fan. Maddie, this cut off at the end. Look at the thing that Maddie handed me. The type is too big, Ron, and therefore the read cut off at the end. That's Maddie's fault.
That would have to be.
Not that I would ever call him out on the radio.
No, just keep our laundry in
house. You see this, Maddie?
I believe I wrote that.
Oh, my God,
that.
You did. He wrote it in pen, Ron. How am I supposed to read that?
I tried to make it as clean as possible.
This is unbelievable.
I meant to tell you about that earlier.
All right. It's on the Odyssey app or tell your
smart
speaker to play 93.7 The Fan. Very industrious of you, Bolsey.
I apologize. I should have given you a heads up on that.
That's okay. When are we going to read your ad for Street and Smith Stables?
Whenever you want to.
Maybe in the noon hour?
Yes.
I'd be excited about that, and I know Ron is very excited. All right. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet for a great deal on a newer pre-owned vehicle and great service. You'll find it at Sun Chevrolet today. Heavy rain and a thunderstorm, high of 78. Tonight, a couple of thunderstorms, a low of 59. Well, you just heard it. Rain. And if your roofing and siding isn't where it should be, you're going to feel that. You're going to see that. You're not going to like that. So why not fix that? JP Roofing and Siding. Joe Potocnik, who just alerted me to a possible golf date with him and a couple of other people. Wouldn't that be enjoyable? Yes, it would. Maybe Ron could meet us on the 19th hole. Who knows?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.